Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, the old debate of active versus passive investing is no longer about ideology. It's about cost, context, and adaptability. As financial markets swing from one global shock to the next, investors are ditching purist thinking in favor of more hybrid strategies that blend efficiency with opportunity, especially as private markets become more accessible. And joining me now to discuss this evolution is Francois Smith, client portfolio analyst at Stonehenge Fleming Investment Management. And he's going to tell us that the real winners are those that think less about labels and more about value for money. So, Francois, welcome and thank you very much indeed. So that debate about active and passive investing, is it finally dead or is it just, as I've alluded to, getting a little bit more nuanced?
Hi, Jeremy. Yes, yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's definitely getting a lot more nuanced. I think the current state of it all is that there's a lot of perception that passive funds have taken over the dominance of active funds, which the data shows is certainly not the case. This is mainly the case for US-centric equity funds, and across the investing landscape, active management is still empirically still dominating the amount of assets under management. And I think to say that active management is dead is a gross overgeneralization based on where the research has come from.
So just remind our listeners again very quickly, what's the difference between active and passive? What do we need to know?
So a passive investment strategy is essentially something or a strategy that attempts to replicate a particular index as closely as possible, and the index traditionally being a cap-weighted index representing a specific segment of the market, whilst active investment strategies attempt to pick securities within that market that the given portfolio manager or analysts thinks is going to do better than that overall market, and then they collate a portfolio of those securities to try and beat that given index.
Francois, you also allude to the fact that cost these days is king. I guess that's a lesson for just about everything in life these days. How significant are fees then in determining performance?
Oh, very much. Fees have a significant influence. I think investing inherently is an uncertain endeavor, and one of the certain elements that I think any investor can control in choosing a particular investment would be the fees. So a high degree of cost consciousness is definitely recommended when looking at a possible set of investment solutions.
And how do you go about determining that cost consciousness, as you say? What do investors need to look out for?
Well, most funds in South Africa typically report their total expense ratio and total investment cost, TER or TIC, on their fact sheets. And this can be used as guidance when comparing different products that are similar across your investment opportunity set.
Now, to what extent is the ETF market, Francois, blurring lines here?
It's a very interesting paper that has come out recently. It is showing very interesting developments in that actively managed ETFs are becoming used a lot more than what they were before. And also, active portfolios of passive tracker ETFs are being constructed by investors to sort of blend the idea of selecting investments that isolate particular parts of the return generating process and to combine that with the cost effectiveness of the ideas of passive investing.
So in that respect then, how should an everyday investor, in other words, someone like myself, how do we go about building a cost effective diversified portfolio in this hybrid world that you've just outlined to me?
Well, I think the first starting point would be highly conscious of costs. I think if you trust yourself to pick the parts of your portfolio that you can, or look to pick parts of your portfolio that you want to isolate, pick a diversified set of ETFs that will represent the regions or sectors that you want in your portfolio, and then combine them in the manner that you think is optimal. Or alternatively, if you don't think that you can do that, find an advisor that you believe has the capability of doing so.
But quite difficult these days for someone to navigate all the noise.
It is. Yeah, it very much is. I think the main thing that one can do in turbulent times like this is to develop a strategy and trust your research and then stick to your guns, stick to your game plan and be disciplined.
And to that point, you talk about market efficiency. How do investors know when active management is going to add some degree of value?
That's a very good question. Well, there's an interesting developing theory. It's called the adaptive markets hypothesis. It essentially builds on the old efficient markets hypothesis. And what it says is then during tranquil times, you're likely better off going passive. And during turbulent times, you're likely better off going active. Mm-hmm. And when these periods occur, it can be quite difficult to identify. So it does take some degree of skill. So if you think you have the ability to identify these periods, probably be a good indication. And if you don't, think you have the skill, it'll be advisable to find someone who knows your situation and who you think has the skill to do so.
And Francois, just a final question, and maybe just complicating everything, is the integration of private market assets into maybe more retail-friendly portfolios. That's also difficult to understand sometimes, and it also brings its own set of risks, doesn't it?
Oh, it definitely does. I think private capital is an area in which that is sort of a blind pool for many investors. Mm. You don't get to see as much as you do with your typical unitized products, but it has historically delivered very strong returns. It definitely has the ability to help diversify your portfolio, but it can be difficult to access. And I think there's a big effort in the investment market to try and democratize this, to give more and more investors access to it. But if it does suit your risk profile, I think it would be beneficial to consider it. But a high degree of due diligence is definitely recommended because, like I said, these investments can become blind pools or black boxes.
High degree of due diligence, I think, is a good lesson in life generally. Francois Smith, thank you very much indeed. Client portfolio analyst at Stonehenge Fleming Investment Management. Appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.